Good evening. There's even some smiling faces out there tonight. Oh, there's a few more even now. Smiles grow, don't they, JC? You just need one good smile and then it starts breaking out all over. And as Christians, we have a lot to smile about. Even during the hard times. If we just take the time, as the song says, to count your blessings. Because they're going to far outnumber the hardships, aren't they? We just don't realize it. But literally, sit down one evening and start writing down the blessings. And you'll be surprised just how many God has really given to us. Tonight I've titled this, Pray for Others. And some of you are saying, duh, of course that's what we do. But do we? Do we? How often have we heard in the public prayer something along this lines? Bless all whom it is our duty to pray for. Have we not heard that a lot? At least similar things. Do you think that pleases God? Well, I don't think so. And let's take a deeper look at this thought. People who lead in this request, they rightly understand we should pray for others. What was the greatest mission of all that Jesus did? He interceded for mankind when mankind could not intercede for itself. And when we became Christians, what did we become? Priests. And as priests, what's the main activity of a priest? To intercede for others in a service to God, but for the people. And we are priests. It is our job to intercede for those who need intercession. I think on Paul's thought in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Paul says, first, I tell you to pray for all people, asking God for what they need and being thankful to Him. Pray for rulers and for all who have authority so that we can have quiet and peaceful lives full of worship and respect for God. I hope you notice that verse 1. I tell you to pray for all people. So does that mean, Lord, I pray for all people? Amen. But then the second part of that sentence doesn't fit, does it? Asking God for what they need. Now, do I know what all people need outside of the Lord Jesus Christ? No. So I think Paul is talking more specific here than we think. If we need to ask for what they need and then being thankful to Him for what they get. But the question is, this evening, how seriously do we take this command of God to pray for all people? And did you notice He separated rulers especially to pray for? How often do we pray for our rulers? Our president, vice president, president-elect, for the senator that represents us here in the state of Florida, and I forgot who it was that is our senator here. Who? Was it Martinez? Is he ours? Okay. I've heard... He's one of two. And I'm ashamed. I should know these, but I don't. But I need to learn for these men and these women that we elect that we can pray for them specifically. Because that's what we need to be doing. Parents brought their children to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He blessed them with the thought He interceded with them for the Father. He basically prayed for them in His blessing. On the cross, what did Jesus do? He prayed for others. He prayed specifically for those who crucified Him. And when shortly before His death, we are told that He went and He gave a prayer in John 17. And who did He pray for? And us. So, did you hear that? He prayed for Himself. He prayed for the 12, and He prayed also for us today as Christians, those who would become his disciples because of the 12. And I don't know if you remember, one time Jesus came to Peter and he said, "Peter, I have prayed for you." Because he knew Satan was going to sift him. And he prayed for Peter. Yet the ministry of Jesus and his interceding did not end when he went to heaven. He continues the work of intercession before the Father. Hebrews 7:25. "Therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always..." What's that word "always" mean? Does that mean he stops? "Because he always lives to intercede for them." He does not stop interceding for us. It's a continuous work. And I think Jesus loves to do it. How about us when we intercede for others in prayer? But what a graphic description of Jesus' continual work. You know, we've heard this of others. He just lives for his family. When I say that, he just lives for his family, what does that mean? That everything he does goes to taking care of his family. To live for something is to give strict priority in time to that cause. And Jesus has set it apart for us, and we need to set time aside that we can intercede for others in prayer. Jesus did teach us to pray for others. He showed us we should pray for others. And his ascension to heaven did not stop his work, did it? Surely this is an example for us, that our work in praying for others must continue always, continuous. I think it's the devil, but you know, a lot of times in my life, I hear a voice in my head, and it says, "Oh, you prayed for him last night. You don't need to pray for him again." I think that's Satan. I think that little voice is not from my Lord. And do we not all have that experience? A voice in our head that tries to talk us out of something, particularly prayer? And sometimes I think we don't think properly about prayer. It's kind of like in the election. Someone says, "Well, my one vote won't matter." But is that true in an election? No. And it's not true about prayer. Your prayer does make a difference. It makes a difference, first of all, to God, because one of his children is talking to him. But it will make a big difference to that person you're praying for. Like I said this morning, you got to believe it. You got to trust God in that. James 5, verse 17 and 18. To show you what the prayer of one righteous man can do. We're talking about one man, the prophet Elijah. Chapter 5, verse 17 and verse 18. Elijah was a human being just like us. A lot of times when we think of these Old Testament characters, what do we think of? Superman, don't we? Just like the apostles. We think of the apostle Paul, you know, the super apostle. Oh, I can't do what he did. But Elijah was a human being just like us. He was a sinner. At times, I'm sure he gave in to Satan. But he was still considered a righteous man. Now listen to what he did. He prayed that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Now, he didn't do that just for fun. He was calling on God to punish the people of Israel. But he prayed. One man prayed to God, and for 3.5 years, it didn't rain. In verse 18, when repentance came, Then Elijah prayed again, and the rain came down from the sky, and the land produced crops again. One man, one prayer. Well, two prayers, one at the beginning and one at the end. Great wonders. It's easy to dilute this power by thinking, God does not work miracles today. Let me tell you, if God wants to work miracles, even today, He can do it. We may not always recognize miracles as miracles, but God has promised to hear the prayers of the righteous, the prayers of His people, and has promised to answer them. And do not be surprised if He does work miracles. But too many of us, and I'm sad to say, particularly in Churches of Christ, we think that God does not work miracles today. Now, He might not do the type of miracles that we see in the New Testament, but we cannot deny that our God can do that. And if we doubt, of course it's not going to happen. Because doubt destroys our trust in God. He was moved to stop it to rain because of that one man who was wanting to do the will of God. Although we do not pray for droughts, we must realize that all the power of God is still available to those of us who believe. We just need to believe, and we need to be praying, of course, that the will of God be done. Now, if I start praying for things for my own selfishness, I can't expect a miracle, can I? But we need to believe that God can work miracles and that He will, that His will might be done. In Ephesians 1:19-20. Ephesians 1:19-20. And you will know that God's power is very great for us who believe. Very great. Does that mean He might do some things for us? It is very great. When I say something is very great, what do I mean? Powerful. Amazing. Unlimited power. Do we think that God is weak when we pray? Sometimes I think when we pray, we think, oh, this is kind of hard. I better think of something easier for God. Well, pray for the impossible if you think it's the will of God. Because He is great in power for those of us who believe. That power is the same as the great strength God used to raise Christ from the dead and put Him at His right side in the heavenly kingdom. If God can raise the dead, certainly He can help us with our problems and with the problems of others when we intercede in prayer. It comes down to belief and trust in the power of the Lord God. As we are aware of the needs of others, they should become the subjects of our prayer. I didn't know it until Aaron told me today. His brother lost his job. How long ago? He didn't make it aware to us. Or we would have been praying for him. But once we know of a need, we need, as priests of God, to intercede in prayer and not to give up or doubt until God answers our prayers. We know there is power in the prayer of one person. We've seen what happened to Elijah, but have we not seen in our own life prayers answered? Do we not know that God does answer prayers? It is our confidence that God is going to hear us. And He will answer according to His will. Although He knows all things, it does make a difference when God's people make requests for each other. But listen to this. I didn't make it dark, so I almost overlooked it. Matthew 18, verses 19 and 20. Now, it's true the context is not necessarily on prayer, but I think it also reaches out to prayer. But here is what happens when believers unite in prayer and unite in activity. Also, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about something and pray for it, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. This is true because if two or three people come together in my name, I am there. If one person, righteous person, prays and God hears and works mightily, what would happen if 13, 14, 20, two or three righteous people come together and pray? I think the miracle would be greater still. And why is this true? Because of Jesus' promise, I am there with you. But do we doubt it? Do we think that this is not true in today's world? Because I think we limit ourselves when we say, that was then, today is different. The only thing different about it is our level of faith. While the context of this verse deals with withdrawing from an impenitent, the principle, I think, is broader. If the church, even if it has only two or three members, unites in prayer, it will be granted. This is, of course, when that request is made according to the will of God. It is not uncommon for the church to exercise this power in the area of sickness and distress. We do it all the time here at Plymouth. We pray very good for our sick and for those who are in need. Yet, do we practice this in other areas of the Lord's work? Mission work? In our own outreach here in Plymouth? For the youth work? For those who no longer attend like they should be attending? Do we think as a church to pray for these people and do it together? There are many areas of the Lord's work. More, there is much more to pray for than the sick. The sick should be prayed for. Those who are in distress and need to be prayed for. But there is more work of the Lord that we need to be praying for as a church. Paul was an ordinary person. We like to think of him as Super Paul, the apostle. You know, with a big, SA on his shirt. Super apostle. But he was an ordinary person. He suffered from weakness and from fear. He talks about his fear, doesn't he? And his feelings of inadequacy, just like we do. Yet he accomplished tremendous success in spreading the gospel. How? He attributes it to the prayers of the saints who are praying for him. Paul knew where his strength came from. Not from himself. It came from God because there were Christians that were praying for him. And he knew that's the only reason that he could do the amazing things that he did. There were several sources of that power. He prayed for himself. And he knew that Christians were praying for him. And I didn't write down all the verses, but I wrote down here Romans 15, 30, 31. 2 Corinthians 11, 1 through 11. Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. Colossians 4, 3 and 4. 1 Thessalonians 5, 25. Philemon 22. Here he is asking Christians to pray for him and thanking Christians who have prayed for him. He was aware that his source of power came from those praying saints, both women and men, old and young, who thought of him, prayed for him. That was his strength because God heard their prayer. If the prayer of one righteous man can stop it for rain for 3.5 years, what can the prayers of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, how many we got here? 20, 30 people? 25? What would the prayers of 25 Christians do if we sat down and prayed together for a cause? How much of your life is aided and strengthened by others praying for you? We may never know. Another question we should ask is how many people are strengthened and encouraged by our prayer for them? We may never know. But if we don't get down on the knees, if we don't pray, no strength is going to flow because we were too weak to think of others and pray for others. What is your major source of strength? Is it your knowledge of God and His Word? Has God given you abilities exceeding those of your brothers and sisters? Or may your strength reside in that others are praying for you. The knowledge that others are praying for you. First off, if you know people that are praying for you, it gives you strength. Because you know, hey, my brothers and sisters are praying for me. But it is also a blow to Satan, who doesn't want us to pray. He doesn't want you praying. Because JC, he says, if JC stops praying, I've got him. He says, if a Gladys stops praying, I've got her. And because I've got her, it won't take me long to get Mr. Lee. We need to pray. And we need to learn to pray for others. Prayer is so much more helpful and constructive than complaining and criticism. If your preacher is not quite preaching up to par, should you criticize him? What should you do? Get down on your knees and pray, and maybe God will make his ability even better. If the youth is not doing exactly what you want to do, should you complain and criticize the youth? What will that do? It might turn them away. Get down on your knees and pray for the youth. Complaining doesn't do anything. But an intercessory prayer brings miracles. Pray for me. How do you feel when you want to request prayer? Do you feel ashamed? I think a lot of people do. Oh, that just shows a weakness in me. But is it wrong to ask for prayer because you know you're weak? Or is that a sign of strength because you know where the strength comes from? How great is our conviction that our petitions make a difference in our lives? Maybe we do not think of others as able ministers of intercession. Maybe we think they're not righteous enough to be praying for us. Is that our choice to make? Is that our decision who is righteous and who is unrighteous? How often do we feel need for the prayers of others? Or does our pride get in the way? Intercession is a vital part of prayer. A vital ingredient is missing in prayer that lacks intercession. There are other things to pray for. Not all of our prayers should be intercessory, but a huge part of it should be. If we forget others, we are probably too concerned with ourselves and our own problems. It is not just a coincidence that in the Lord's Prayer, there are no singular pronouns in the prayer that Jesus taught His disciples. You know, the President of the United States is guarded by what's known as the Secret Service. Why do you think they call that Secret Service? Because how can they guard the President if you know who they are? They wear suits. Now good, they also wear these big sunglasses. but they wear suits so that they can blend in with people. They wear those dark glasses so you can't see that they're looking everywhere and looking at all things. And I was watching on television when they shot President Reagan. And I'm sitting here afterwards, where did all those machine guns come from? them in their jackets and stuff. Next thing you know, they had those little machine guns, and they pulled out that. There were men running around with machine guns and handguns, and you thought, where in the world did all that come from? Because that's the Secret Service. They protect the president by hiding among the people. You're not supposed to know they're there. That's why they're secret. Their job is dangerous because they may die in their line of duty. The ministry of intercessory prayer is our Secret Service. It is a rare opportunity to serve someone without them ever knowing about it. Is this not what Jesus asked us to do in prayer? Our secret prayers for others will be answered openly. They will never know what we have done, but both the one who prays and the one who has been prayed for will be blessed. Never thought of yourself as Secret Service, did you? But that's what we are. We are there to pray for one another, to protect one another from mortal danger. And are Christians in mortal danger? Yes, we are. We have an enemy that's a roaring lion. And what do roaring lions want to do? They want to eat. They want to kill. Now, usually it's the woman lion that kills and the man lion then eats. Which shows maybe that women are better at intercessory prayers. I don't know. But that is our Secret Service. We pray for one another. We strengthen one another in that we pray for each other. And once again, if the prayer of one can bring miracles, what can the prayer of 30 believing Christians bring about if they don't doubt but trust the Lord? How is your prayer life? Are you praying for yourself and only yourself? Your family? Or do you think about those in the church who need your prayer? Do you think about the work of the Lord in Plymouth and pray for it? Do you pray for the youth? Do you pray for the preacher, for the elders, for our deacons? Or do you just pray for yourselves? That's the question. The power of prayer is undeniable. I still believe in miracles. And I think maybe one of the reasons we don't see many is we don't believe that there can be miracles today. If you need the prayers of the church, if you know of someone who needs prayers of the church, we need to know. If you're not yet a Christian, you don't know what you're missing. Because Christians, the strength of a Christian's prayer is far greater than of an unbeliever. God even hears unbelievers when they pray according to His will for salvation. But the prayer of a Christian is undeniably powerful. Yes, Stefan, even more powerful than Darth Vader's sword. His light sword. Laser sword, excuse me. If you need Christ, if you need to be able to pray properly, if you need salvation and baptism to wash away your sins, then come tonight as we sing and we stand and sing our invitation song.